funeral, so we'll be singing "What a Day That Will Be," number 627. Everybody, welcome to Sunday school and get to know Steve, Wendy's brother. Well, glad to have you with us, Steve. 627, what a day that will be. Okay, Dan, I will move a few things for you, and then the whole lectern is there.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity that I have to, first of all, even be here. In God's economy, I'm glad to be most anywhere, especially because I believe that the local church is on the cutting edge of the war front that we face spiritually. God started the local church, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he died for her so that she would have, the local church, would be the very cutting edge of in our society in a spiritual sense. Now, we deal with a lot of physical things. I've been a builder now for some almost 56 years. I know Pastor Matt and Sean. I've been a part of Continental Baptist Missions for 45 years, built churches and pastored churches. And so I count it a privilege for the opportunity just to be where God wants me. There's no greater calling than to be in the center of God's will. And so that's just a blessing to me. And, of course, you know that Paul writing to the local churches, Philippians to be one, and who knows the theme of the book of Philippians? Oh, come on.
Joy.
Joy. Joy and rejoicing. And when we get into chapter 2, we find out why there's joy and rejoicing because of what Paul is talking about in the midst of this local church. And you'll know that as in Acts chapter 16, where it actually talks about Paul establishing the local church there in Philippi, that these were somewhat of the poorest of some of the local churches of that day. And he commends them for the fact that they give twice out of their poverty they give. And guess what they were doing? So Paul is referring to them in chapter 1 about the fact that there is joy and rejoicing when Paul remembers them. If you look in chapter 1, he says, in verse 4, he says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy." So the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to a local church, had this insatiable commendation for the local church in the fact that they were joyful. He was joyful, and what he did is that he was always, because it says in chapter 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy." And you know what joy stands for, right? Anybody know? Jesus first, others second, and you last. And you know and I know that humanity doesn't like to be last in most anything, right? We find in the Old Testament, this is one of my favorite verses. Actually, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is my life verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that God wants us to rely totally on him. There's no exceptions. If you look at what the Apostle Paul and other writers of the New Testament, that'd be hard, right? Because the Apostle Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And so it'd be kind of hard to look for another writer from that aspect. But in the Old Testament, there is a point, and if you'll know the story in Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a builder. He was part and parcel of the fact that they went, took a trip, a research trip, to back to Jerusalem to find out what was going on. And of course, the result of that, how many remember how many days it took them to rebuild the wall? 54? Is that about correct? 54 days, and I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of Jerusalem, I'm sure you have, to rebuild a wall that was totally in shambles. And they took the debris, they got rid of the debris and rebuilt it. What I look, in fact, the logo on my tool trailer, when I left the church in Kingsford, Pioneer Peak Baptist Church, after 10 years, I started my own business because we needed to have income. And on the logo is the Bible with the trowel and the sword. And that was on my prayer letters, that was on my prayer cards, that was on everything. And so I just took that and superimposed it on my tool trailer. So that was what actually did that. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, he says, I better turn there because I don't want to mess it up. You know, the memory is really great, but sometimes you can't remember what you've been studying all that time, you know. But Nehemiah is a great book. Chapter 8, in verse 10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for the day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So when we get weak, we better check the thermometer where our joy is, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You remember Dan French singing that little song? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And, of course, he had several verses to that. But here in Philippians, it talks about in the first five verses, and I want to read that if you will follow along. He says, "If there be any consolation in Christ, if they any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, be which is also in Christ Jesus. So what's on your mind today? It's always interesting to me when I wake in the morning, what is the first thing that's on my mind? I precipitate the fact that I've been reading the Word of God before I go to bed, and I desire to have the mind of God the next morning that I am thinking about what God is doing either in my life or in the lives of people that are in my frame of reference. And so on my mind, when I go to bed, I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus. In the morning, the first thing, and refreshment in the fact that I was able just to sleep. But here's Paul saying, he explains in detail what should be on our minds, every born-again believer. Paul had a kindred spirit with the believers in the Philippian believers. In chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, I'm making requests with joy. So, when I'm praying for missionaries, whether it be Sean and his wife or Pastor and his wife, because I have probably have a history with them, right? So I actually have some substance, and it's a joy for me to have a relationship with my Lord first, and yet those of my co-workers in the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul writing, he says, 17 times he mentions Christ in the text in chapter 1, to prove his point that these folks were on his mind on a continual basis. Chapter 1, verse 6. Paul had great confidence in Christ that the Philippians were the genuine article in regard to the faith, and was encouraging them. In verses 19 and 20 of chapter 1, he says, For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all holiness, boldness, as always, as now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by death, life or death. Is that the kind of mindset that we have as believers in Jesus Christ? It's one of those great detail things that come about by the truth of the Word of God, that their lives would reflect the gospel. And we drop down to chapter 1, verse 27, and it says, Only let your conversation or manner of life be as it becometh to the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In the five verses that I just read, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, it mentions the mind three times by word. And so we find here that the whole process in verse 1, he says that these, you notice the first word is if. You know, it's interesting when we're reading through the scriptures that the word if is a condition. If is always used as to introduce an exclamation expressing a condition or qualification. So here we find Paul writing to the Philippian believers, and he says, if there be any consolation. The idea behind consolation is to call near for help. So what do we do in prayer? That's why Paul emphasizes prayer always in his writing to the local churches, because that was a primary function of the local church. Prayer is what gives us the strength to go do what we need to do in evangelism, service. You remember that when Jesus in the Gospels sent out the the apostles two by two. And you remember when they came back, they were rejoicing in the fact that even the evil spirits were under authority of them, right? But you remember what Jesus said, don't rejoice in the fact that they of service. He said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Yeah. Our ministry to others, if we're living the kind of what Paul's talking about, and that's what he's going to tell us. He says, if there's any consolation, calling near for help. Exactly. I don't know about you, but I need lots of help. And the only one that I know of and can give me that help is if. It's been an encouragement. I've been here since last Saturday. I've been in Montana since, but I didn't get here until Monday. I was down in that little town called Anaconda, where Brother Bill Jenkins is. But if there be any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, the idea behind comfort is to console. When you're in love with someone, you console them. And the Lord Jesus. What is the Lord Jesus? He's, you know what? This is an amazing statement from Scripture. Where Jesus is right now, and we all know this, he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us individually. It's not a corporate situation. We have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, produces joy. So, even the things that happen to us, in the midst of all of that, we're supposed to do what, class? Joy! We're to rejoice. We're not to walk around like we have been sucking on lemons for the last couple hours. You have met people that claim they're believers, but their smile is like this. And that's not how we're supposed to operate. We have this great thing that if there be any comfort of love, you know how great it is to know that when somebody tells you how much they love you? That there's great comfort in that, right? We read through the Scriptures and we find out that Jesus Christ, God the Father, loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. No greater than a friend die for another, you know. If there be any fellowship, I like this. If there be any fellowship, I look for opportunities of fellowship. Actually, every month, and I think you practice communion once a month, right? Same word. Fellowship is communion, which means an intimate relationship with each other, but also an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, because we remember his death, burial, and resurrection till he come. Next calendar event, and I'm looking forward to this. Every morning I get up and I look out to see if there's any bright spots in the eastern sky, because I'm listening for the trump. That's the next thing on the calendar, of God's calendar anyway. He says, and in verse 1, he's still talking to us about the fact if there be any mercies, compassion. One of the things in the world doesn't understand is compassion. In fact, our society is absent from compassion, kindness, what's a few of the other ones? Ethics, you know, you can go down through a whole list of things like that. This condition based in and on our relation, personal, I should put that in there, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we should, when someone sees us, they should be able to calculate that we're different from the world right away by our smiling countenance. Because when they were accused, the apostles were accused, I think it was Peter, right? Peter and which one? They were accused of being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning because they had been with Jesus Christ. But the world around them knew that they had the joy of Jesus Christ and all of that that went with it, the characteristics of all of that. But this is the local church. This is what's supposed to be happening in the confines of the local church. Secondly, we see in verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the name, the same love, being of one accord and one mind." Three times he lists in that one verse talking about the mind. We can have all kinds of things on our mind, but what is profitable for us is that Paul is saying, "Fulfill ye my joy." Why? Because the Philippian believers had the mind of Christ. Now, by this time, you're probably asking yourself, what is the question that Paul is challenging the Philippian believers? What kind of characteristic does Paul have on his mind talking to the Philippian believers? We're going to see that here in just a moment. And you may be surprised. Well, maybe not. Paul is saying that if you are obeying the scriptures, you are bringing joy to Paul and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that we don't often think about this, because I do. I think a lot about this. Is what I'm actually doing, what I'm actually living, am I actually bringing joy to my Savior? And the word starts with a big O, obey or obedience. We sing that little song, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C. Bible school, we used to sing it all the time. So if we are being obedient and we're seeking to draw other people, if we have a relationship in such a way, we will actually be the drawing card for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he talks about the fact in other places of the Word of God, he says, are people asking in 1 Peter 3, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that lies within you." Okay, my question to that verse is anybody asking? Which means I need to be exhibiting the characteristics that not just Paul is talking about, but all of the other writers of the New Testament. And so are we really bringing joy? That, where's that little word? The word in verse 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that." The word "that" in the Greek has this concept. It is a purpose or a result for our lives. A purpose or a result for our lives. So the result of our life is... what's the next word, class? In the text. Like-minded. The next word after "that ye be like-minded." And this is what I wrote in my margin. That, let's see, the same as. So if we have the mind of Christ, it is the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the mind of Christ? You have a book here. It's got 66 books in it. I can't tell you how many chapters because I forgot that number. But the point is that reading the scriptures, assimilating the scriptures, and obeying the scriptures is the mind of Christ. Those are the characteristics of believers in Jesus Christ. That's why the apostles and those in the first century were so adamant about not doing anything that would bring a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that, or the purpose for our lives, is to be like-minded. Essentials of the mind of Christ is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness. Against there is no law. Aren't you glad that our relationship with Jesus Christ has no laws against it, and they can't prove it, and they can't convict us? Well, maybe I should word that differently. If any of us were taken to a court of law in regard to our faith, could they find enough evidence to convict us? I talk to a lot of believers that way. It says, Are you living in such a way that if they were to take you to court of law, could they actually prove that you were different or believe as a believer? Sometimes I get kind of a sour look from people when I talk to them about that. But then he talks about that the essentials of the mind of Christ, he presents for us in that the verse there, if there be any love. In verse 2, he says, like-minded, having the same love. Now that's a tall order for us as believers, because if we have the same love that God had for us when he sent his only begotten Son to this earth, even Jesus told him, if one asks you to go a mile, what do we do next? We go the extra mile, don't we? You know, that's where the joy is. I cannot express to you the joy I've had since I showed up here on the project and had the fellows come and help me work on the project and our fellowship and talking about the things and some of the things in the past and all of those kinds of the same love that Jesus had for us, that he was willing to give himself. One accord, that's the same mind. That's one accord actually is the same thing as the next one, which is one mind. The same as the Lord Jesus Christ in that frame of reference. One spirit, one mind, lowliness of mind. He goes on to verse 3. He says, let nothing be done with through strife or vainglory. And you know what that is. Strife and vainglory is actually is the act or state of fighting or quarreling. You know, the world does that all the time. That's not where we're supposed to be. That's what we were doing before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. As a result of that, the lowliness of mind, actually, sameness. Lowliness is humility. That's not practiced much today, is it? Our love for one another and the fact that humility. How can anyone identify you as a believer unless you possess the mind of Christ? Verse 4, nothing means negative. So it's the empty, emptying, empty, I can't even read my own writing. Extreme self-pride is the negative aspect of that. All allow, he says, let, there in verse 3, let nothing. That means to allow nothing to come between you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That means circumstances, that means people, that means what's happening in our world today, in the whether it be finances, whether it be politics, any of those kinds of things are not to come between you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the same way with a couple. We are not to allow anything to come between our mate and us in regard to all of this other stuff that's happening around us. We sing that little song, there's joy in serving Jesus. You know what? Our first responsibility as a husband is to our wife. Yeah. Then our children. Because eventually our children are going to leave home, and guess what? We just have our wife. And so as a result of that, we need the mind of Christ. And so let, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, 1 Peter 2, 21. 1 Peter 2, 21 says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. How many of you, you may even have that poem that's on the wall. You have the poem that's on your wall. It's about walking through the sands of time. And how it goes is, the man in the poem says to the Lord, why? I can see our footprints together, but now at the lowest time of my life, there's only one set of footprints. I can relate to this. I could take you the next 2 hours just to tell you about the strip in between where only his, it's because I carried you. Do you realize that that's exactly what the Lord Jesus does for us on a daily basis when we get into tough situations that we do not see the other end of all of that? Oof. So here we find that Philippians chapter 2, 7 and 8. We are to Psalms 119, verse 9. Hide the word of God in your heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 11. How? Oh no, verse 9 of Psalms 119 is, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed or obey to the word of God. You see, this mind possesses to retain. That's the whole idea. Being you, you are to be characterized by the mind of Christ, that the mind of Christ is the preserved, inspired, pure, preserved word of God. Chapter 12, Psalms, verses 6 and 7. Psalms 138, verse 2. I shall worship toward the temple, for ye has exalted his word above his name. That's how important the word of God is. So having the mind of Christ is this. Separates from sin. Sanctifies the life. Oh, separates from sin. Psalms 119, verse 9 and 11. Sanctifies the life, Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 9. Satisfies the soul. There is great, 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 great peace in having the mind of Christ. That the peace of God that passes all understanding. Wow. And it selects others. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let not every man look on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Christ developed the word of God in such a way, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What's that? Jesus Christ looked at sinners so important that he wanted to restore them from the original sin. And the only way he could do that is become man and become the ultimate sinless sacrifice for you and I, that we might be able to spend a whole eternity. And why is that? Because he established the local church as a body of believers to encourage, to build up in the faith, to bring us to a particular point of reference that he could say, they belong to me. You see, as believers in Jesus Christ, you belong to him, and nothing, got this? Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Wow. I think that's found in Romans 8. Wow. What a blessing to know that we are in the very hand of God. You know that, and I'll quit with this. John chapter 10. My Father and I are one, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. You are so secure, it matters not what happens. Not even death can control that, because God has you in the palm of his hand, and he is not going to turn you loose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the local church, that we are in an organization, in a living organism that's on the cutting edge of the battle spiritually. And Father, may we be found faithful to you as a result of our obedience to the Word of God. And as we enter the worship service this morning, Father, that we would go into that service with open hearts, open minds, to receive again the pure Word of God, that it might change us from when we first walked into this building this morning. Glorify yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.